Welcome to the OA Light a Candle Meeting Podcast. Visit our website at www.oalaig.org, where you'll find three separate speaker feeds with over 400 speaker files, forms for ordering CDs for these speakers, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. I would now like to introduce our speaker for tonight, Thor.
Hi, my name's Thor. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Thor.
I was hoping there'd be about 10 birthdays, and everybody would go long, you know. I'm really glad to be here. I want to thank Justin for asking me to speak a couple of days ago. And then, of course, he said, I won't be there, which always makes me dubious. I also, when he asked me to speak, I thought, I just want to lose 10 more pounds really quickly. You know, I guess my story is what not to do, because I have about three and three quarter years of abstinence, but I've been in and out a number of times because I start to get some really good ideas that don't work. and let me just start from the beginning. I grew up in an alcoholic home, and you know, when I was really young, my mother and I traveled the world. My parents separated when I was about 6 months old, and I lived in Greece, I lived in Denmark, I lived in England, I went to school there, and as a young kid, I was always underweight. And then around seven and a half, I think it was seven and a half, 8 o'clock, eight. My mother's alcoholism started to get really bad. We went from traveling all over the world and taking cruise ships doctors were starting to come to her, and I was always sort of underweight. And then my mother went away when I was about 8 years old. She went to a treatment center, Smithers, and I lived with my grandparents. Nothing was ever explained to me. And I just let's just put on a smile. That was my grandmother's motto. And I was confused and scared. What happened to my mother? And I lived with my grandparents for 2 years, and the only way that I knew to have a smile was to overeat. I started to overeat as a young child as a way of coping, and I would have these big bowls of cereal with Special K and cornflakes with loads of sugar, and I could I would have that smile, but I needed something to help me have that smile. And from that time on, living with my grandparents, I was always about 20 to 30 pounds heavier, and I loved to eat. It was just I almost when I would be with my friends, if I knew my friends were coming over, I almost wanted a time out so I could eat. So I could then be okay, I just always sort of found myself nervous, and food was my first sort of drug of choice, as it were, because it just took the edge off, particularly with my grandparents, it allowed me to smile and pretend like everything was okay, and shortly thereafter, I moved back with my mother when I went into the sixth grade. And before then, my mother wasn't present a lot, and she started to be more present, but she started to be very moody. And it scared me because we would fight. And I had never really fought with my mother until that time. When my parents divorced, my father, I used to have you know, I always wondered what happened to my father, and my, you know, I never met my father, and, you know, and I just remember food always sort of being there. I used to love, you know, we lived in New York at that time, and we used to, you know, whenever my mom would feel guilty, we'd go to Tad's Steakhouse in New York, and which was kind of like Sizzler but sleazier, and when we moved out to LA, you know, whenever she'd feel guilty, we'd go to Sizzler, and actually, what's interesting, coming here, this room actually has a lot of meaning, because 30-some-odd years ago, I used to come here. My mother would go to an AA meeting, and there would be an Alateen meeting, so I would come here. And so this meeting has a lot. This room has a lot of warmth to me, and you know, and I always sort of felt, you know, I just sort of felt alone. Like I felt just raw. You know, I just and I loved, you know, and I remember as a kid also. It was right before we moved out here, and I was always sort of a little bit of, I started to get aware that I was just, I was always about 20-30 pounds heavier, and I remember coming back, you know, from going into eighth grade, and I remember telling my friend, oh, I'm in better shape this year, you know, like, as if that, I don't know what that meant, but that, you know, maybe I'd be a little faster playing sports or whatever, you know, just that sort of awareness, and you know, and I went to, you know, I remember going to high school, and which I hated. there's actually someone here I know that I went to high school with, and that person I remember her from high school, and seeing her here, I could tell that this program worked, because I could see a smile, and I don't remember her having a smile when I was in high school. And I hated high school. The principal said, this will be the four best years of your life, and I thought, well, you're wrong, and I was right. You know, and that and the food sucked, but I overate nevertheless. And I also, you know, I also did other things, you know, that, you know, food was part of certain things, you know, like a way, I just wanted to knock the edge off, because I also remember just being very angry, and I would try to be funny. I kind of wanted to be a combination of Robert De Niro and Taxi Driver. I related to that kind of rage, and I wanted to sort of be Woody Allen too, you know, where it was like, you know, that sort of being the sort of smart ass, and I was never that funny, and food also just took the edge off, and I just remember, you know, graduating, and you know, and in high school I started, my weight started to fluctuate. And I remember in college, my, you know, I put on a freshman 20 or freshman 30, whatever it was, and then I remember going to England, and the food was horrible there, and I lost weight. I mean, it was, and I walked, you know, everywhere, and I came back, and I thought, when I came back for my senior year, I thought, I've got this thing licked, you know. I'm not going to, I just have it. You know, like, it's like an intellectual understanding. And sure enough, I put on 30, 40 pounds. And it was a couple years after college. I mean, I came in through another program. I came in through AA. And I remember in my early sobriety, I you know, we'd go to meetings and eat late, all these sort of heavy carbs. And I remember, I think it's in the Big Book, it talks about, you know, having chocolate. And I thought, damn right. And just like liking that, you know, it was like sobriety plus, you know. and my weight started to creep up a little bit. And sort of, you know, already in my early sobriety, like defending being slightly heavy, and, you know, well, it says in the book, you know, we can eat chocolate, so let's eat chocolate. I think it was about 4 or 5 years sober where I went to OA for the first time, and it was right before OA and House split, you know, and I did Hal because it was a great diet, you know. And for me, I mean, I know a few people that are still there, but, you know, it was like, I remember the first time I did it, I lost 29 pounds in 30 days, and I wanted 30 and 30 for the newcomer. And I would be there for short periods of time, and then it's like, I got it, thank you, you know. And then coming back, I think I must have come in and out 5 or 6, maybe 7 times, you know. And first it was to Hal, and then it was to OA. And I just, for me, like, it just seemed very weird. Like, I used to go to a Hal meeting, and they would sort of encourage everybody to drink diet caffeinated soda, which always seemed kind of odd, you know. Like, let's get amped up a little bit, and, you know. And for me, you know, it isn't just about diet, you know. I thought I needed something to replace that. You know, if you take, I think in the big book it talks about, you know, that there's underlying symptoms. It isn't just about the food. And when I came in, and I think it was like the last 2 or 3 times, I remember this is when I was single, and I was good for about two and a half years. And I remember one of the times coming in and losing the weight, and then I'd start looking to the rooms to date, which was not a good idea. You know, also because it's just people that weren't really secure in their food, and they tended to go out. And it was like, okay, I've got it. And then, you know, slowly the weight would creep on. And as I got older, it, you know, it just became sort of harder. I'd come back. I remember the last time, not this abstinence, but the previous abstinence, coming in and just being convinced, like, to me this didn't seem normal. Like, when I was newly abstinent again, this thought occurred to me is, you know, well, what if I get held up at gunpoint and they said, eat a cheesecake? You know, is that a slip? You know, and to me, that's how I know I qualify, which is like, oh, shit, you know. And doing this and starting to, you know, in terms of really relating and, you know, it was really interesting. There was, I got abstinent. It was the Moore Park Monday through Friday, 7:30 in the meeting, in the morning meeting, and it was you know, a very broad range of people, you know, from you know, people who are very secular to and you know, all sorts of denominations, a few Orthodox Jews, but the commonality that I mean, one of the things I love about the rooms is it isn't the you know, the commonality, despite you know, like, I, to me, the more different people the better, because for me, for some reason, and just identifying with a broad range of people, because this is irrespective of, you know, I used to think, well, if you're Jewish or Italian, it's okay, you know, the food is good, so you have to overeat. And right around that time in the last abstinence, I met a woman who became my wife, and I just remember, I wanted to have my cake at the wedding and eat it too, you know, and I went out, and I just remember, and my wife has issues with food, And I just remember sort of hiding it from her, being at the Gelson supermarket in Valley Village, and being in the parking lot and eating Nestle's frozen cookie dough in the parking lot, scanning the parking lot for people from OA, and there were people. It wasn't purely paranoia, and just watch and sort of playing and hiding food from my wife, and thinking, well, maybe if my wife goes, that would do it, and what I realized, I started going back, and I remember going, I was really embarrassed and mortified, because just the progression of compulsively overeating got stronger and stronger, and also just my vanity and ego. I remember going to other meetings that were over the hill, or at the Virgin Megastore, or that little mall or whatever, because I wanted to lose the weight before coming back. And I finally sort of broke down and just went there and went back to Moore Park, and I got a sponsor, and then I just started to drift, and I got another sponsor, and at first I was very used to this sort of the way of eating in Howe, which was this very rigid food plan, and that didn't work for me, anymore. And also, one of the things I realized as I got older, my metabolism slowed, and the weight took, was slower to come off, and I'm down about 30 pounds, which I've kept off. My top weight was about, which was about 6 or 7 years ago, was about 230, which is about 40. I'm 45 pounds down from that. And what I can say is, this abstinence, I've been the least willing that I've ever been. But I've also been the longest abstinent, and one of the things that my abstinence, I don't eat sugar, and actually about 2 months ago I became vegan, although I have a leather jacket, so go figure. I remember I've lost about, I would say maybe 7 or 8 pounds, vegan. I thought, oh, maybe I don't need OA anymore, but the sense of like not wanting to, just like I had a commitment, I've go to Saturday morning the kitchen sink meeting, and I'm grateful. I remember waking up today not wanting to be there, and then after hearing the speaker, it's like, oh, I'm so glad I came. And because I've kind of grown up with the 12 steps from my teenage years, there's a sense of being like having sort of a Santa Claus God. It's like, if I'm good and just be a good little OA member, I'll get what I want. And the truth of the matter is, the last 3 or 4 years have been the toughest of my life. My wife and I have been trying to have kids, and we've spent tens of thousands of dollars on IVF, and it's failed. And I haven't been in the food. And really to sort of be present. I don't have a lot of experience with relationships, in my early life, I had been molested by women, you know, and so that whole intimacy was really scary. And, you know, a lot of the help of OA has helped me to sort of be present. And, you know, and, you know, and, you know, at first when I was really new, this time I was trying to help my wife get into OA, which didn't work. And one of the things that has been really helpful, I mean, she's been helpful in a weird way, and I don't really know if she has a problem with food, or I'm not willing to say on tape, but but I've watched her play with food, and to me, having no chocolate chip cookies is easier than having one, you know, and just the sort, to me, coming in, like trying to do it myself is kind of like tightrope walking on a mount, on like from two buildings, like the Century City, those two buildings. Meanwhile, juggling, chainsaws that are on with that and on fire. And to me, you know, to me, just that's doing it myself, you know, and you know, and hold on. And and this way has been easier, you know. It's just easier, you know. And I'm just grateful, you know. And I haven't been, you know. And to learn to be present and to show up for my wife, and not to tell her anything about the food. I mean, there's a, I think it's a Jewish joke where, you know, a Jewish atheist will talk more about God than someone that believes. And my wife loves to talk about what she eats and this food and this, and that just, you know, it's like it. I don't like to talk about it that much. It's just not that interesting. And you know, but you know, because you know, I have a sponsor, and it's interesting. I have a sponsor now that I had when I first went into OA. You know, and you know, and I've also been you know, we are now in a process you know, looking at other alternatives in terms of what, trying to have children, and you know, and we're a couple years from the threshold of where we can't even adopt, you know, and just to sort of be present and not to check out with food, you know. And I'm also, you know, career-wise, you know, I'm sort of, I can't seem to get arrested for any kind of work, and that's been really hard. And I'm not, you know, I have what I eat, and I'm not, and I've, in the last several years, I started writing something, and I have in the years past, like, wanted to write, or when I would say, okay, I'm going to write, and then I think about writing and get scared and want to clean the top of the fridge. And, you know, and for me, I've had to, you know, I still feel like I sort of have a Santa Claus God, you know, and what I've had to do is sort of shift that, and because I can't make the result be like, let me get what I want, because that may not happen. I've actually been able to do something that I've never been able to do, and that's, you know, and who knows whether it will work or not. I mean, I've done probably 45 drafts and of something, and I've never, I mean, I've written much smaller pieces, and to me, that's got to be the victory rather than make it exactly what I want. And I'm not, and I remember calling my sponsor, and we would talk about setting up a timer for 30 minutes, you know, and I would start with 30 minutes, You know, and I'm now in the and I would really, you know, work, you know, sit on the floor on the have the computer on the coffee table, one of my dogs on my lap, and write and not be eating, you know, which that's a miracle in itself. You know, and recently I've just started to, you know, because I'm also, you know, I've had worked in, you know, in the entertainment business, and the industry has shrunk and the economy sucks, and also looking at non-entertainment stuff, and, you know, and just the sense of, you know, let someone to help me, coach me through that. And my sponsor's been very helpful, but, you know, that's not what he does. But just, you know, is encouraging, and to not, you know, the baby stuff, and, you know, the what I really want to do, and, you know, something to pay the bills. And I'm not in the food. And I'm grateful. And what this has allowed me to do is to show up, you know, and not, and also of late, you know, I'm, the way that I eat is really boring, you know, being vegan, and, you know, it's tough. I mean, I think about pizza a lot, or having cheese on pasta, and I'm not, I have no idea, you know, that's just what works for me. I get defensive because I remember hearing vegetarians or vegans, and they can be like born again Christians to everybody, you know, you should do this. And I have no idea what you should do. I just know that for me, if I didn't feel so goddamn good, I wouldn't do this. And it actually has helped me a lot. But just, you know, being here and just having and doing the steps, I've had a tremendous resistance this, you know, and I can tell you, you know, some of the amends I've made, you know, I stole when I worked at a bookstore, and I made amends to the bookstore, and, you know, when they said, did you steal, you know, did you steal when you worked here? I said, yes. Well, they said, well, you get 40% off, you know, and I was like, no, I'm spiritual, I'm a man of God now, and they said, no, and I said, okay, 40% off, and, you know, and I've made amends to my mother and to my grandparents, and I continually make amends to my wife, you know, actually, it was interesting, I realized there was a sports team that won a championship last spring, and I realized as soon as they won, oh shit, I've got to make amends to them, because I threw something onto the ice when I was a teenager. Oh shit. And the sense of, like, what, by not eating, by not, to sort of be present, and to try to accept what life has to you know, what life unfolds, because I know about, you know, using the food to numb out, and I know you know, and to reach out to others. I mean, I went to my morning meeting, and I didn't want to be there, and I saw someone who had sort of this deer in headlights look, and, you know, and I, you know, got to say hello to them, and they were new, or they were just coming back, and, you know, and I was just grateful because people did that for me, and I just know that you know, this is also a more progressive disease, because I remember this time getting abstinent. I remember, like, just, it felt like there was another level in terms of my need to stuff my feelings and to stuff how I felt. And, you know, and just not to do that, and to, you know, to, and I don't know, and it's interesting, I love, one of the things I love about my Saturday morning meeting is there have been a broad range of speakers, that, you know, from people who have been believers to people who are atheists, and the commonality of spirituality of, you know, I'm not really interested, because I don't know if there's a God. I really don't. I mean, sometimes, you know, when you're, if you're having lots of sex and getting paid in the same week, it's easy to believe in God. But I know, you know, with the things of like this willingness to show up, you know, sort of an acronym of good orderly direction, or, you know, and just not, you know, just, and I do have an awareness of, you know, compared to a lot of people, I have it easy, but nevertheless, it's still tough, you know. In some ways, I mean, you know, putting you know, the drugs and the drink away, because that's zero. You know, with this, you have to eat every day, and it's just then in order to sustain oneself, and you know. But what I know is I don't, in hearing people, whether they're fervent believers or they're atheists, there have been commonalities of a sense of showing up, you know, because when I'm in the food, I'm not showing up, and you know, it's like I keep praying, you know, God, I want, like Bill Wilson in the Big Book had a white light experience in terms of coming to believe, and I want like a big sign, either a neon sign to come up, you know, what's going to happen, or a fax, if you do these 10 things, this is what's going to happen, and that doesn't do it, and I, you know, I've never had that, and I do things anyway, you know, and the sense of sort of showing up, you know, and to sort of be present for my wife, and you know, to hold her. I mean, I was really gratified about a year ago. My wife went to a support system for women who were trying to get pregnant using IVF, and she told me all these horror stories about their husbands who, when they would have this procedure, would, you know, wouldn't be there. You know, some of them would go to Vegas and, you know, for a bachelor party and not be there. And the fact that I've been there, and the fact that, you know, calling in my food and it just made me really grateful, because I really love my wife, and you know, I just for today, if you're new, you know, I can't do this myself. You know, I mean, if I could, I wouldn't be here, you know, Saturday night. And this process of the steps, a food plan, calling people, because a food plan by itself, I've done diets and they work for short periods of time. But I need something else, you know. I mean, one of the things that I did learn from Hal was that losing the weight is the easy part. Keeping it off is the tough part. And that's been true, you know. I'm just glad not to... I don't have those battles that I did. That doesn't mean it, you know, things are necessarily easy, but you know, I used to have a sponsor in another program who was also in OA, who said, you know, this, you know, we'd you know, people, you know, who couldn't get abstinent would overeat and then feel bad and then eat to feel stuff their feelings of feeling bad, and I don't have to do that. And you know, my suggestion in terms of what has worked for me is to talk to people, to get some phone numbers, to ask questions. And I remember one of the things I know, I've learned this when I was newly sober, and this is, still applies to me, is that I don't have to believe this will work. And I remember doing things and we'll do things. I'll show you it won't work. And invariably something happens by doing it, you know, than not doing it. And I'm just glad that I'm glad to be absent. I'm glad that Justin asked me to speak. And thank you all for listening. Yeah. Okay. I'll set up my. Sure. The question is, how do I not clean the top of the fridge and just do the task at hand? I have an egg timer, and I set the time. You know, I call someone, usually my sponsor, I'll set the timer for half an hour, and just do it. And thinking this isn't going to work, but I'll show you it won't work. So I'll set it, and then I do it. And actually, I have to do that again. I have to, in terms of resume stuff for, you know, for regular work, I have to sort of convert. And it, to me, it's like pulling teeth, because I want to take a nap and have it done for me. But, you know, I have to do that, too. But I do know that, you know, like the analogy, that just the willingness to sort of talk about it, because it left to my own devices by myself. I can't think my way into right action. And the analogy in this process I started to talk about with my OA sponsor was, I can't run a marathon, because to me, writing something like this is like running a marathon. But I can cross the street. And it's in crossing the street on a daily basis that, you know, I've been able to do 45 drafts. So I don't know if that's helpful. But the question is, explain the least willing in terms of this abstinence. Because life has gotten harder, and just feeling like, you know, when I was new, other times, like, you know, the weight would come off quicker, and this sort of feeling better, you know, with the weight coming off and doing the steps again, and sort of feeling like that there's no little reward, you know, like a little epiphany or something, and just sort of being willing to show up despite what I think should be a reward, you know. I mean, which is like, in my mind, a big check should arrive just because, you know, I did whatever. And, it was sort of funny when I changed the way I ate about a month ago, and thinking, you know, I don't need OA again, you know, which is not that I've had that thought a lot. It's like, well, let me just do my commitment, which I just started this commitment at Saturday morning. So it's just, you know, on a daily basis and talking to people about it and not doing it alone. Oh, thank you. Thank you.